Evening, everyone. This is Troika St. Germain, and welcome to the Ascension Secrets of St. Germain show. Thank you, Ron, for that nice intro and lead-in. Tonight we are going to be talking about faith, belief, and trust, or FBT, sort of like the New Age BLT. And I do want people to call in and discuss their experiences or questions. The toll-free number in the United States is 877-876-5227. And if you're calling from Canada, you want to call 888-815-9756. And I'm kind of technology challenged. I just found out about this, well, I've known about this BBS fast chat feature, but I've never known how to use it. But Ron taught me how before his show, so thank you again. So for people that are used to doing that and know how to do it, I now am at my computer, and I'll be able to see any questions or comments people place into there. And for those of you that don't know how to use it, if you go on my page on BBS Radio, just select my show information, right above the little flashing violet sort of space lotus, you'll see in violet, you'll see in orange, quickly chat with a host, and then in violet, BBS fast chat. If you click on that, you'll be on the fast chat. And you don't need to put in your, you really don't need to put in your email address, but I would appreciate it if you did, because then I can communicate with you through email later on. But just put in your name and your message and click send, and I'll be able to read it. So what has precipitated this subject matter is a few days ago, a friend of mine sent me an email saying, you've got to check out this woman's blog and all the terrible things she says about you. Well, with an offer like that, how could I refuse? So I went to Cosmic Connie's blog, and I must say, this woman is brilliant in writing. She should be a stand-up comic. She's very, very funny. But what she does on this blog is she just tears apart and knocks apart all of us in the New Age, especially those of us that, you know, have a somewhat of a presence through a website or radio or whatever, and kind of takes our own words and our own descriptions of ourselves and twist it all around to being very, to very, very cynical and very skeptical, and, you know, kind of shreds us apart, but in a very funny way. So I was amused. I was laughing out loud at what she said about me, and it reminded me about how skeptical I was. And I mean, this woman and I have a lot in common, and I hope to become friends with her. Seriously, I hope to become friends with her. I think she's really cool. So when I was, you know, when I was a kid, I've talked in the past before about those first 10 years of my life when I was without veils and I had all the these little super paranormal powers, and I was able to do things, and I had total knowledge of the divinity and the oneness of all, and angels and masters, and everything was fine. I didn't have any problems with faith, belief, or trust issues in those days, because I was already in that state. But when the veils came down, so did my faith, belief, and trust. And I was very, very skeptical. I didn't even know if I believed in God. I was that skeptical. And just like everyone else, you know, where are we? What is this? Why am I here? Is there a God? What's the purpose of life? And I was a seeker and interested in finding out these questions. I was very curious, but I was a cynic. Now, I also want to regress here for a little bit. I know that I'm not alone in these beliefs and trust issues. You know, we're all one. We all kind of have the same thing. So, and the reason why I tell my experiences is not because I'm obsessed with myself and what I believe in. It's because that's the only way I know how to teach. It's the only way that I know for sure something is true is through my experiences. And I hope that my experiences become, you know, sort of an example or relay the message of where I was and what happened, you know, by my experiences. So, anyway, that's my little disclaimer. So as I said, when I was a little girl, I had no problems. But as the veils came down, I had big problems. But, you know, again, curious and seeker and checking out things. But I did everything through skepticism. When I was 13, I started studying astrology. But it was not because I believed in astrology and I wanted to become an astrologer. I started studying astrology to prove it wrong. I was so skeptical of it, I thought, what a bunch of crap, you know, and how can this be, and how many people, I'm a Sagittarius, so like, how many people are born in a 30-day period every year, you know, for all eternity, and we're all supposed to be alike? I thought that was totally ridiculous, you know, it didn't mesh with my common sense or my logic. So I set out to debunk astrology. Well, the more I studied it, the more I saw how it worked. So I started believing in it based on the feedback that I got and the actual proof that I saw. And it was the same with tarot cards and other things, you know. I always approached it as a skeptical way, but developed belief as I studied more. So the, another thing. When I was a little girl, I used to be able to impersonate Catherine Coleman. I don't know if any of you know who she is, but she was, in the 50s, she was the number one faith healer, was on television, and she had an unusual speech pattern, and she would do the slaying people in spirit, sort of like, what's his name, the guy that does it now, Benny Hinn. In fact, Benny Hinn talks about how Catherine Coleman was his inspiration and his teacher. And very Christian, very, you know, Pentecostal type of stuff. And I used to watch it, and I used to make fun of her because, again, I was a skeptic. I didn't believe in all of that kind of stuff. Although secretly, deep down, I wanted it to be true. But I would be doing this impersonation, and my mother would say, God, you're so good at that. Let's get a white dress for you, and we'll get a tent, and we'll make millions and millions of dollars. And even then, in my skepticism, I always had this feeling of, but what if God is really true, and what if it's, you know, what if all that is true? And I told her, no, I can't do that. I can't mock God. You know, I was afraid to mock God. And just felt that it wasn't ethical anyway, you know, so of course I wouldn't do that. I've got to tell you this one thing. Seances, you know, seances were real popular for a while. Now it's called channeling, but I didn't believe that. I thought seances were, and talking to dead people and bringing in all these spirits and all of this stuff was totally ridiculous. Little did I know, years later, I would be doing it myself. But I was about 17 or 18 when I did this. I thought, I'm going to disprove these seances and all of this. And my mom used to drag me to psychics and stuff and to seances, and I'd sit there and I'd listen to them. And I was curious about it, and, you know, and some of the information that came through from our dead relatives was plausible, but not necessarily unique. You know, a lot of general information, nothing real specific that only this spirit would know. So I didn't really have real strong conviction that it was true. I thought it was a good act, good show. I had a little bit of a show business background. I was always watching, you know, where's the mirrors, where's the strings, how do they make this happen? And wow, great show, you know, when it was. So I set up this mock seance, and I wanted to make it as hard as possible. None of these little flimsy tables that were easy to rise. I went to a friend's house that had this huge, huge, very heavy timbered dining room table that took like six big men to move it, you know, from one room to another. And I put this big bowl of water in the center of the table, like a huge big serving bowl, and had this water filled half so I could watch the water move if there really was vibration. And when I had candles around and, you know, the whole big theatrical show, and there were about four or five of my friends, and we sat around and we were going to do the seance. And so, and I had no idea what to say or how to do it, but I just thought, well, I'll just be real theatrical and I'll just, you know, call in the spirits and who wants to talk and blah, 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 and then ask for proof. And so I told them, you know, I don't believe in you and you're going to have to really show me that there's a sign and that something's going on and all of this. And the big bowl of water at that point started wiggling back and forth. The water started sloshing, and I'm watching this, and my eyes are getting bigger and bigger, and I'm going, oh, no, what's going on? And then the bowl lifted up, and all the water came and just splashed all over me. It's like they dumped the bowl of water on me. So I was a little convinced that there might be something going on, but still, you know, not what. So this is kind of how my life went until I reawoke in the early 80s and kept, you know, having these type of experiences based on my skepticism. And then I also had a lot of real experiences that I couldn't explain, you know, like Saint Germain manifesting in front of me and in very interesting dreams and little miracles that were happening all around me. And each time something like that happened, I got a level of belief or more questions, actually, more questioning as to what is this and what's going on and what's really happening. And you know, I studied and studied more to find out about these things. But each time I had an experience, more doubt came into my mind. For a moment, there'd be a moment of recognition and, yes, this is really true, and wow, this is really happening. And then, almost within 24 hours, I was back to being very skeptical and thinking everything was just hocus-pocus, you know? So I often wonder in my life if I had so many unusual paranormal experiences because of my doubt, if the powers that be or the other side or whatever we want to refer to them as, if they were giving me more and more of these experiences to erase my doubt, or was it because I was blessed in spite of my doubts? Something still to this day I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I've died twice. I've gone through incredible accidents that I should have died and just got up and walked away. The water jumping was great. Yeah, it really was funny. I wasn't laughing at the time. I was horrified and I was so scared. I thought, oh, no, I've really pissed them off and now what's going to happen? But all it was the water jumping. And so I have come to realize that doubt is healthy and it's normal, and that no true faith can exist without doubt. Our doubt is what helps us to seek and to discern and to look and to see and to experience what's really true. So doubt is not a bad thing. It's actually very healthy and a good thing. And then faith is doing it anyway. Faith is hope and prayers and acting as if things are true, whether you believe that they are or not. And that's what faith really is. People talk about having great faith in something. When they're talking about, what they really mean is they have great belief, because faith does not exist without belief. Faith is just, it's just that, it's blind faith. We do it in hopes that it will be true. And that faith, that action of doing it in spite of your doubts or your cynicism, in my case, the skepticism, is what faith really is. And then belief is based upon your experiences. Each experience, you know, hopefully deepens your belief, and that deepens the faith, and it dispels doubt. In my case, I needed an awful lot of experiences to eradicate doubt. And even now, even after all the experiences that I've had, I still have doubt from time to time. The thing is, though, is that my doubt lasts in shorter durations and is, you know, quickly dispelled. It doesn't take me long when I go into one of my, what is this all about? This is ridiculous. Are we all just delusional, you know, and sort of like Cosmic Connie's thing. It's really easy for me to relate to her because I've had every one of those thoughts and every one of those feelings, and even now and then I still do. I must tell a tale on myself about Ron Armitron. You know, for a long time, not a long time, but for about a year's period, I kept hearing references to this E.T. Ron that takes people up on the spaceship and does all these clearings. And, you know, my first reaction is I just rolled my eyes and went, oh, boy, yeah, right, you know. And I started asking people I knew in Mount Shasta, do you know this E.T. Ron? Who is this guy? You know, is he on the level? What is he? You know, nobody I knew him. They had just maybe heard about him, too, and didn't really know him. And the first WESAC festival here in Mount Shasta that I participated in was 3 years ago. And my booth was right across from Ron's. But I didn't put it together that he was E.T. Ron. He was just this really nice guy that was really normal and very balanced. And, you know, and I didn't know until the next time I did a WESAC thing that he was E.T. Ron. And I said, you're kidding, I've always wanted to meet you. And that's how we started to become friends. And I developed belief in him and faith in him and what he does by experiencing him and by watching him do things. And I could feel them. I could feel them as they were happening. I could see things happening as he was doing it. And I thought, wow, this guy is really on the level. So, you know, I don't always just take things at blind faith, even at this point. I still have to be proven that these things are true. And I'm sure that that all of you guys can relate to that, I hope. Call in and give me your experiences if you want. And let's see. Oh, another thing that I did take little notes that I have not been paying attention to, so I'm going to jump around a little bit. Another thing that I experienced, you know, in the recent past, in the past 20 years, is meeting a lot of spiritual teachers that just don't walk their talk. There were lots of them. In the late 80s, I started to be on the lecture circuit and do whole life expos and things like that. And when you have a speaker badge, you know, you get to go to places in those events that if you're an attendant, you don't. And that's the speaker room. At this point, I really was embracing all of the metaphysical things. I'd been reunited with Saint Germain. I was all, you know, fresh and new and dewy-eyed and gullible and ready to believe everything and all the love and light and the airy-fairy stuff and you know, everything's wonderful and now, you know, life is going to be wonderful. There's no bad people. Everyone's sweet and good and all. And I go walking into this speaker room and there's all these really big name people that for obvious reasons I will not mention, at least not on the radio. Some of them are still big names today. And I was, to say disillusioned would be a mild adjective. I was just shocked and disillusioned to see how these people, how some of these people, not all of them, but how some of them really were. They were jaded. They did not speak well of their clients, you know, us, people that they wanted to buy books or have healings or take their workshops. They referred to them as suckers, and I mean it was like being in the presence of very serious con artists that were very good at presenting a holier than thou picture. And just had no regard for what they were doing and no integrity. And that just really shook my world. And at that point I said, I don't want to be part of this group. And I knew that I wasn't strong enough to E.T. Ron is very unique. And I do love him. He's one of my best friends now. Back to the disillusionment. First of all, I was devastated that this was really going on, and I didn't want to be thought of as one of those people. And I knew that I was kind of new-ish at all of this. And I didn't think that I was strong enough to hold my integrity and be around people like that. I felt that it would kind of rub off on me. So I quit the lecture circuit, and I just stopped, and I went back to being behind the scenes and very low-key and all, which I stayed that way until 2 years ago. And so that was something that really shook my faith, you know. Or that I had to really think about. And then I've run into teachers that I took classes from that were a big disappointment as well. And some I've experienced downright fraud in the New Age world and broken promises, you know, and plagiarism and all kinds of things. So I guess what I want to say to everyone is if you encounter anything like this, or if you already have, you know, just realize that what I've come to realize, that the higher realms and the earth plane are really different. And sort of like what I was talking about last week about not everyone here is playing on the same game and the same level of integrity, and just realize that you know that the things that happen here are illusionary, they're temporary, It's not the real truth of the higher realms. And go by your own experiences. When you have a healing, you feel a change in your body, you see results in your life, you make a prayer, a really sincere prayer, and that prayer is answered. You know, use those as your experiences to set up your own beliefs and to deepen your belief. And the human stuff, you know, the human stuff of those that are not in integrity or those that don't quite walk their talk yet, just, you know, consider the source and don't let it bother you. Just move on, you know, and just to deepen your faith and your connection with your higher self and with the higher realms. And if you know, want to call in angels, or you want to call in ascended masters, or work with your higher self, you know, just continue doing that. Continue doing that, because that's where you'll see the real truth and where you'll really see experiences and belief. And look to the God and the source within you, and and pay no attention to that dog barking in the other room. That's Jolie. And the one thing that I do know that is really, really true, and this is the one thing that I don't have any doubt about, and that's the violet flame. Because I've seen the violet flame work in so many incidences, and I've been blessed to actually see it with third dimensional eyes. It's an interdimensional fire, but I have seen it various times. The one time that was the most dramatic was when I was flying to Bermuda. And Bermuda, you know, you talk about the Bermuda Triangle, it's a huge vortex. And it's what's called a negative vortex. And by negative, it's not a bad thing. It's just the reverse polarity of, say, Mount Shasta is a positive vortex. It's just that type of energy. It's the outgoing energy. And the Bermuda Triangle is the receptive energy. And so it was a different type of energy vortex, and as we were moving in, that I had experienced, and as we were flying into the area of Bermuda, I just casually looked out. Oh, my friend and I got separated. We didn't get to sit together for some reason. She was in a different row than I was, and so I'm sitting next to strangers I'm just kind of looking out the window at one point, and I looked, and the entire airplane was engulfed in violet flame. It was very dramatic. It was not subtle. It was huge, big, you know, and I just kept looking at it. And I always violet flame airplanes before I go on them, and I violet flame the crew and all the passengers and even the baggage handlers and stuff. So that if there's anything set up for an accident or a problem, you know, I erase it and eradicate it. So I've always done that. Who knows if it really works or not, you know, it was my thought, but I figured, well, I'll do it just in case. So here I actually got proof one time that it did work, because I'm looking out and I see this huge blazing going on, and I stared at it for about 20 minutes, and I would close my eyes and rub them and look away and look back, thinking that, well, we'll find out if it's really true, you know, because you know that, all kids know that, you rub your eyes and you look back, and if it's still there, it's really there. And I did that a few times, and it was really there. And we landed on the ground, and you know, the flames were, I could still see the flames on the plane. And as I walked into the, I'm outside now, putting the dogs outside. As I walked into the terminal, my friend and I, you know, caught up with each other. And she said to me, and she was not what you would call a metaphysical person. She didn't believe all this stuff. She didn't know very much about it. But one time when she was up here, I stuck her into the violet flame reading room and put her in the... They have this artificial, kind of neat-looking light apparatus that looks like the violet flame. And I put her in that room and I said, sit here for a minute, I'll be right back. I left her in there for 20 minutes. And so she saw that. Anyway, when we met up in the terminal, she says, Trika, she goes, it was the most amazing thing. She goes, I was looking out the airplane and I saw all that purple stuff just like that room in Mount Shasta. And I was so excited. It was my validation that I wasn't making it up and that, you know, it really was visible to everybody. So that was one really incredible experience of seeing the violet flame. And then another experience that I had that I know is really true is that I lived in Los Angeles for, well, my entire life until I moved to Mount Shasta 15 years ago. And from once I learned about the violet flame, which was early 80s, I started violet flaming every single day, and I would go out on the edge of my deck. I lived on a cul-de-sac on a hillside, and I had this huge 220-degree view. And I would stand there, and I would do my violet flames. And I would violet flame me and the house and the dogs and people I knew and everything, the whole world and stuff. Well, I wasn't violet flaming the world in those days. I would end it with turning my eyes from the corner of my view all the way around, and I would say, and violet flame as far as I can see, or all that I can see. I did that for years and years. And then when we had the Rodney King verdict came in, and people were rioting and causing all these problems and looting and setting fires, and it was quite dramatic. I was supposed to leave for Mount Shasta that morning, and my car was all packed and all, and when the verdict came in, I thought, uh-oh, there's going to be problems. And I decided to stay and hold, you know, the energy of the violet flame and transmute things. So I was watching the news and hearing what was going on and everything. And in all of the rioting and all of the property and places that were damaged, all happened outside of my view. All happened in that section of the circle that I wasn't violet flaming. In the 120 to the 220 degree part of the circle, and I'm extending it past what I could visually see in my eyes, but just that radius, nothing happened in that whole entire span. So that from that point on is when I started violet flaming the entire world, whether I could see it or not. And okay, you know, yes, there's stuff going on. I'm not doing that good of a job of stopping everything, but there's only one person. That's why I need all of you guys to help, too, with violet flaming. So because I know it's really true, and because I really believe in the violet flame, and I know that it really helps transmute negativity and karma and lift frequency and vibration, and because I got cut off because I started too late, I want to do the violet flame invocation again, and with a little bit more time this time so that we can really create it. And meanwhile, people can still call, and you can put in your questions on your fast chat. Yes, I did die twice. I drowned the first time, and the second time I died of a drug overdose. I mean, I didn't know that I had been given drugs. It was one of those Hollywood parties, and it was angel dust, and I stayed conscious through that whole experience. Okay, so the violet flame If you listened last week, you'll know a little bit about this. If you didn't, I'll just reiterate it again. The violet flame is a alchemical flame that is looks just like our fire, except it's purple. Purple and white and pink and, you know, all of that. And it's a gift from the higher realms that transmutes your karma and negative thoughts, actions, deeds, emotions that you have put out. You know, what we put out returns to us. So by transmuting what you've already done that maybe hasn't come back to you yet, it turns it from a negative to a positive. Just like in alchemy, you turn lead into gold. You know, you turn yourself from the third dimensional human into the divine human when you use the violet flame, and it, you know, raises your vibration and does all kinds of things for you, and it's only limited by your imagination. So there's four steps to it. The first is that you bring the violet flame into your body and have it go through your entire body, every atom and every cell. And then the second step is while you retain the violet flame in your body, you have it come out your heart chakra and surround you, incorporating your emotional body, your mental body and your spiritual body. Then, so you're now sitting in a huge big egg-shaped violet flame where you've got the violet flame inside you and outside you. Then you ask the violet flame to transmute all that is blocking your ascension. You can just say it that simply, or you can say, or you can say all the different things that you want, you know, like I call it the laundry list, you know, please transmute all anger, all negativity, all sadness, all blah, 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 whatever you're working on. Or you can use a one-term phrase like I have written in this. And then after things are transmuted, then you have to fill yourself back up with what you want, because the violet flame will literally burn off things, you know. So it leaves like little holes in your aura where negative things were. And if you don't fill it with something good, then anything can jump into your aura and replace it. You can be in the mall and walking past someone having an argument, and that energy of anger can then, that's one way that negative things can come into us, is if we have a place for them to be. If you continually fill yourself with really positive energy and the higher energies from the higher realms, that cannot happen then. So I transmute things into the golden light of the Christ consciousness. You can fill yourself with whatever you want. You can fill your, if you know the color rays and how to work with them, you can, you know, call in the colors that you want. You can call in more than one. And if you don't know about the color rays, you can ask for qualities or you can ask for it to be filled with unconditional love, or with peace and harmony, or, you know, you can call in qualities like that, or success, or, you know, whatever you want to bring forth to yourself. So, yes, Saint Germain works with the violet flame more than a lot. He is the violet flame. He's the one that brought the violet flame to us, and that's his biggest gift to humanity. And he wants, anytime someone has a session with me, he always brings up, you know, the violet flame and wants to make sure people know how to use it and that they're using it a lot. So, now that you know the four steps, I'm going to lead a lead a little invocation, and you just kind of think of those four steps. You'll know which step is happening based on what I'm saying. And also, too, one thing to know is that you do not have to memorize these words. You do not have to say things exactly like I do. I say it different all the time. I've written down one way of doing it so I don't have to fumble and grasp for words while I'm doing it with the radio. But on my own, I don't always say these words. I say what I feel at the moment. And that's what Saint Germain has always said to me and to others, is that more important than the words you say is the emotion and the feeling and the intent that you say this with. And that's why I explained the four steps to you beforehand. As long as you cover those four steps in any words or any terminology you want, you've got it covered. So it's, you know, just bringing it in your body, surrounding your body, transmuting, and then filling your body. So I'm going to take a couple of deep breaths, three of them. You can do this along with me. You breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. So breathe in, out, in, out, in, out. Mighty I Am Presence, beloved God, my heavenly source, please make manifest in me now the sacred violet flame of transmutation. Bring the violet flame into every cell, molecule, and atom of my body, filling me totally and completely. Blessed violet flame, blaze into my heart and expand out and around all of my bodies, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, surrounding my entire being with your divine grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Transmute all karma, negative thoughts, actions, deeds, and energy that I have ever created at any time, in all dimensions, on all levels, in all bodies, through all time and space, past, present, and future, for all eternity. Transmute anything and everything that stands in my way of embodying the ascended Christ being that I am. Beloved violet flame, turn all that has been transmuted into the golden light of God, the Christ consciousness, the light of God that never fails. Send this golden light to me now, filling and surrounding my entire body with its divine radiance, raising my vibration and frequency to the highest level possible for me now at this time. So be it, and so it is. Thank you, God. Amen. So that's the way I do it. And I'd be interested in the people that are writing on the board, if you felt a shift by doing that, if you felt what you felt from doing that meditation, that invocation. And it's something that's very easy to do. It takes, as you can see, it took me much longer to explain how to do it than to actually do it. And by doing this at least once a day, I mean, I do it when I wake up in the morning and I do it when I go to bed at night, to do it even just once a day, every day or as often as you can remember to do it, will really change your life, your frequency, your vibration. And when you change your frequency and vibration, everything around you shifts. Your life gets better. You live in a more peaceful flow, harmony of the universe. Things come to you, both materially, physically, mentally. True abundance is brought to you. It's the type. it can help you achieve the type of life that we all want, you know, to be in harmony and flow, and it will help you with ascension more than anything else. Everybody that has ever ascended, including, you know, Jesus and Kutumi and Saint Germain, the ones that we know of, besides the ones that we know of, there are thousands, maybe even millions, of ascended masters that choose not to be well known. Every single one of them has to go through the violet flame before their final ascension. And in the past, prior to the last 50 years, nobody knew about the violet flame. It was something that was hidden and a secret that was only revealed to a person by their master right before they achieved ascension. And it was through Saint Germain and his desire to help all mankind that he was allowed to make the public know about the violet flame. I have to change phones. The other one is dying. And he asked the hierarchy, the powers that be on the other plane, if he could introduce the world to the violet flame. And it took a lot of negotiation, and he kind of put his butt on the line. I don't know how else to explain it. To be able to reveal the violet flame to everyone, and that is why he is so associated with the violet flame. It was he that brought it forth to us, and even though it's violet, and he's the master or the lord of the violet ray, the violet flame is not exclusive just to the violet ray. They're kind of, they correspond, but they're really separate. So people on the blue ray and people on the green ray and people on the pink ray and all of that also utilize the violet flame. It's a universal tool that's available to everyone. So I hope that you will use the violet flame. And what happens if you've not been able to visualize yet? You don't have to visualize the violet flame in order for it to work. For a long time, you know, I didn't see it, and I don't see it every single day. Well, no, that's not true. I do see it every single day now. I don't see it always with my eyes open, but when I close my eyes, I do see it in my third eye. When I say to visualize it coming into you, if you're not a person that sees things like that or can make it up, it doesn't matter. Visualize is more, it's also just your intent. If you just go into, you know, the meditation, do a little breathing, and with the intent to bring the violet flame in and to transmute, that's all you need. And just pretend. You know, pretend is creation. Just kind of pretend or imagine or think, or just that good old word faith, that the violet flame is going to come into your body and circulate around when you ask it to do that and to transmute. It will do it. It's just you're calling it and just asking for it to be so that makes it happen. And if you don't see it or you can't imagine it, don't worry about it. It works just as good if you can see it or not, if you can imagine it or not. And just do it. Okay, so let me see what you guys have written. This is really fun. It's kind of distracting, though, you know. It's hard for me to keep a keep these sentences going when I keep turning and looking at the board, but it's fun. It's my first time doing it, so I'll get used to it. What happens? Okay, that I am so calming. Well, I hope I'm not so calming I put you to sleep. But thank you. Do you have the Violet Flame Meditation Invocation written down on your website? No, I don't have it yet, but I'm going to do that. And if you send me an email, and I think there's a place on the board that's got my email address. Let me see here. Yeah, inquiry. Where does it say to email? But yes, inquiry, I-N-Q-U-I-R-Y, at ascension-saintgermain.com. If you send me an email and with your name and mailing address asking me for the Violet Flame invocation, I have some printed up, and I will be happy to mail you one. It even has little drawings of the four steps and stuff, and I would be more than happy to send it to you. And also, too, thank you, Nancy. And also, too, I very seldom plug myself or my products because I get so caught up in talking on the show. But I do have specials for just BBS Radio people. I have sales for you guys just to thank you for listening to my show. So if you go to my website and then after you, the ascensionsaintgermain.com, and then after that, if you put the diagonal dash and you write radio.html and enter that, you'll get the special page for you guys that has sale prices for all the products that I've created with the help of Saint Germain. And I should reword that. All the products I created for him. He tells me what to put in them and what to do, and they're all different products that help raise your frequency and your vibration. And the elixir is really incredible. And his elixir of life he gave to me in three different stages. There's 21 ingredients in it, and he gave me 7 at the beginning, and another, and then the second 7, and then the last 7. And he told me to create it for everybody in phases as well, because I took it in phases and tested it out in phases. So the one that's available now is phase 1, and pretty soon, like within the next 30 or 40 days, I'm going to produce phase 2 for the public. However, I will not let anyone buy phase 2 unless I know that they have bought phase 1 and have used it. So if you haven't tried it yet, this is a good time to try it and get phase 1. And because then I will have a record of everyone that's bought phase 1, and when phase 2 is available, I will be emailing those people directly that have taken 1 before I ever put it out for general public. So you should really try it. I think you'll like it. It's an accelerator that allows your body, your physical body, to hold more light and higher frequencies. And then it's up to you and your intention and your desires to utilize that extra power and extra light in any way that you want. And you can direct it and ask the elixir to help you with a physical problem, if you have an illness, or with a belief problem, or bring in more abundance to your life, or whatever you want. So I'm out of time. I've got about a half a minute left. I want to thank you for listening to my show, and email me and I'll send you the Violet Flame invocation. And until next week, Violet blessings to you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.